May God's words be spoken. May God's words be heard. Amen. Lordy, the authors of this fourth gospel sure have a way with words. Lots and lots of words. Last week, it was the powerful and long theological dialogue between Jesus and the woman of Samaria. Next week, it will be the equally long passage about the raising of Lazarus. So if you are standing as we do for the gospel, wear comfy shoes. Today it's the narrative about a blind man healed by Jesus, and what a story for our time in these days of the pandemic. But first, a bit about some things you may have noticed if you were listening while following along in the bulletin, which, by the way, is available for download off our website if you were just joining us. First, if you've been worshiping with us for some time, you're used to this sort of thing. But for the rest of you, it may seem odd that every time the authors wrote the Jews, I substituted something like the temple authorities or the people. Here's the thing. This gospel, likely written near the end of the first century, while filled with some of the most beautiful written verses of our scriptures, also contains references to the Jewish people that seem to set Jesus and his followers as separate from them. And through the centuries has led to anti-Semitic acts, which, if anyone really thinks about it, is absurd. Because who is Jewish in this story, or for that matter, the entire Bible? Nearly everyone. Nearly everyone. Jesus, all his followers, St. Paul, who wrote a lot of those epistles, and yes, even some who stood opposed to his ministry, all Jewish. God became incarnate as a Jew, chose Jewish followers, and preached in the synagogue. So to make that more clear, I changed the language. The second thing, well, we'll get to that in a bit, so let's get to the story and why it has meaning for us today. Jesus is walking along with his disciples and he sees a blind man. Now, this is one of those odd moments when even a man is not given a name. He's just the blind man. This happens a lot to women in the Bible, but not usually to men. But we quickly see why here. Like women who were sometimes thought of as little more than objects in that time, so why bother to give them the dignity of a name, so too this man with his blindness, for he is the object of his disability. In fact, when he is given his sight, many don't even recognize him. His entire identity for them was wrapped up in his difference. Sadly, this isn't something restricted to the first century writers of this gospel. Today it would be the black man, the gay woman, the trans teen, the Republican, the Democrat, the Muslim, the Jew, the Christian, the woman in the wheelchair, the autistic kid, and yes, the blind man. We love our labels to distinguish those who differ from us, our mass groupings of people into a single labeled entity. But Jesus calls us to see in a new way, in the way that he saw him. So let's do that, and as I am wont to do, let's give the guy a name. Let's call him Fred. Now back to the story. Jesus sees Fred, and before he can even begin to heal him, his disciples want to know who's to blame for Fred's blindness. Now, maybe it's hard to imagine how anyone might react to a medical situation by blaming someone for it, or perhaps not. But in the ancient Near East context in which our scriptures are written, that was not uncommon. Sadly, right now in the world, especially here in our own country, many folks act like the disciples and later the Pharisees of this gospel. They want to blame somebody for what they do not understand or what frightens them. In the case of the coronavirus pandemic in which we find ourselves, it may not manifest as blaming someone's parents, but labeling it the Chinese virus. Let's blame them, resulting in attacks on those of Asian descent. Or it may be heard in the online demands for the names of those infected, and not in a, gee, I'd really like to pray for them way. This doesn't even touch on the hoarding that robbed medical professionals and those who are vulnerable from needed personal protection devices and antibacterial sanitizers because we were just too afraid and acted selfishly. But it does come from the same inner darkness, the inability to see beyond ourselves or those like us. We fear what we do not understand, and fear born of the darkness of our heart breathes more of it out into the world, the darkness of hate, violence, bigotry, oppression, and greed. This is part of the lesson we're hearing today, only we have sometimes missed it through the centuries because of a scriptural addition that sent us down the proverbial rabbit hole of some bad theology. Remember that the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" And Jesus answers them, well, guess what? Here's where the translation gets off track and where you may have noticed that other change from the gospel when it was read versus what is printed in your Bibles or the bulletin. In the text, Jesus responds to their question with, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Now, I'm loath to do any of the original Greek says stuff, but sometimes it's critical. And this is one of those times because that bit about Jesus saying he was born blind isn't there. It's not in the earliest Greek of this gospel. What Jesus said is better translated as, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So nothing there about God making him blind from birth to show us something. That would be just messed up. Yet through the centuries, this addition to the translation, that God made this man blind as some sort of lesson for us all, has been used in some ways that, while meant to be healing, just isn't. Bad theology needs to be called out, and this is one of those that must be addressed every time it happens. God doesn't do stuff to us to mess with us, and certainly does not purposely cause pain and suffering as some sort of trial or test or lesson for the world. As our presiding bishop, the Most Reverend Michael Bruce Curry, often reminds us, if it's not about love, it's not about God. So where is God in all of it? From the moment we are born, part of our very human and fragile existence is that good things and bad things will happen. Yet God is rejoicing with us in the good times and weeping with us in our despair. God is an ever-present part of our journey, like a loving parent hoping for all good things and there when we are stumbling or are in pain. From the beginning of time, God has sought to be in the fullness of relationship with us, God's beloved children, a relationship of love, even becoming incarnate, that we may know this love, know it deeply, and that we may know that we are not alone, that we may know that God is with us, God loves us, and God will never abandon us. And that's the power, a powerful message for us all today, because in our darkest moments, such as many are feeling today, it is important to be reminded that light shines brightest in the deepest of the night. When we cannot see our way through, when we are unable to see the goodness in the world around us, when we are blind to what heals us. It is then when we must remember that Jesus saw this man living on the margins, healed him, and when others still would not accept him, went to him, bringing him out of isolation and into relationship. That's how much God loves us, how much God yearns for relationship with us, searching for us in our isolation, that we may know that we are not alone. Oh, what a message for us today as our social distancing is pushing so many into social isolation. But there's more. There's more. Jesus, after telling his disciples that neither Fred's parents nor Fred sinned, also made it clear that in Fred, God may be revealed. And that, my friends, is another reason this passage has so much to say for us today, because the truth is, every single one of you are Fred. You are the blind man. And does God ever need you to know it? Now, you may not be physically blind, though some of you listening in today may be. But we do all have our own challenges, physical, emotional, spiritual, temporal, none of which were caused by God. But through it all, God's light can be revealed. And in this time of social distancing, when we fear for ourselves and our loved ones, when we are pushed from the sacred spaces which often bring us comfort in the past, God needs us to hear this good news more than ever before. Because it is in times like these when we feel most in the dark, most isolated, most blind, that we must remember God will always come looking for us, love us unconditionally, and through us reveal that grace to others. That's where it's hard for us, isn't it? When we are feeling most broken, most in the dark, that we might actually be the healing light of God's love to others. This is especially true as we are pushed from the comfort of our spiritual homes, our churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples. For those are the places that bring us nourishment and spiritual healing. And yet we know that our lives in Christ are not bound up within this place, but are sealed in our hearts at baptism. That the Jesus who searched for Fred, our blind man, pushed to the margins, is always keeping watch over us too, no matter where we are. And perhaps most important of all, that as children of God, as a people of the Jesus movement, we are called to respond to that love by offering it to others, revealing God's grace to a world in need beyond these walls. God is calling us to be who we were born to be, the children of light, as our epistle said. But how? Well, just look around you. Look for the Christ that is present everywhere. Those moments when you encounter him in small acts of love, grace, and courage. If we're paying attention, we saw him this week. We saw him in a little table stand somebody set out at the end of their driveway, and on it were rolls of toilet paper and bottles of hand sanitizer, cans of soup and more, and a handwritten sign that said, "Take whatever you need." We saw him in the young woman who told an elderly couple to stay in their car in the grocery store parking lot, going into the store for them, that they would not be exposed, those who are the most vulnerable to the virus. We see him even now in the healthcare professionals, many risking their lives without proper protective gear and working tirelessly to tend to the sick, that they may not be cast aside and left without help. Or in the teachers laboring to keep students and parents up to date, the grocery store clerks working overtime to restock shelves, the restaurants offering up leftover food and curbside pickup, those who sew making surgical masks, or a neighborhood in Maryland joining together to leave outdoor lights on all night to spread cheer in the darkness, and so many more. We see and experience Christ, the one who heals, the one who seeks us out, the one who brings us into relationship. We see him in all of these. And we also see him here today. We are in the midst of Lent, when we prepare ourselves for the darkest night of all at the foot of the cross. Yet as followers of Jesus, we know that the light of Christ was not extinguished on that cross, but is present here, now, in each of us. We know, too, that the hope of God was not lost on Good Friday, but exists within each of us who reach out to those in need, for the sick, and care for the sick, and holding them grieving in our arms. We are a people of the light, called to see those who walk in darkness, for that is how we, the broken, become a reflection of God's all-inclusive love, by seeing the ones Jesus would see, the sick, the lonely, the outcast, the fearful, the oppressed, seeing him in their eyes and being witnesses of his grace and all-abiding love in our words and in our lives. Jesus wasn't speaking only about Fred, our blind man here. He was saying to his disciples, to all who follow him, to every one of you. You were born that God might be revealed in you. Listen to that again. You were born that God may be revealed in you. You were born that God may be revealed in you. What will you do with that truth? In this time of pandemic and separation, may our eyes be open to the Christ who seeks us out, the Christ who heals us, the Christ within us, the Christ who is revealed in others, that we may be who we were born to be, a reflection of God's all-inclusive love to a world in need. Amen.